Okay, let's get our swords out. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, this weekend we're celebrating the signing of the Declaration of Independence. You know, it says 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth to this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we meet on this great battlefield, testing whether this nation or any nation so dedicated, so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. And what the Lord was saying to me about being independence. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I'm independence of Him. I know that I need Him every day. I need Him in every circumstance. I need Him in every situation. Amen. And every time I try to do it in my own strength, I get beat up. I get defeated. Amen. And the Lord says to me, well, why are you trying to do it in your own strength? I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the Apostle Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. After that, the Apostle Paul could say in Ephesians 6:10, finally, Lord, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen? So His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So with our text today in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1, the Apostle starts here. He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we as some?
I think that we could probably turn me down.
You're so self-spoken.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Or need we as some other epistles of commendation to you? In other words, the Apostle Paul was saying this. He was saying, I don't have to tell you all about me. I don't have to tell you how much I study God's Word. I don't have to tell you how much I pray. What I got to show you is some fruit of what's taking place. There was fruit that followed the Apostle Paul. He said, don't look at the words. What's following us? Look, we're still reading them today. Amen. There were signs and wonders and miracles that followed his ministry. He says, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you. He says, you are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And I want to focus your attention today on verse number 5. He said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And one of the things the Lord was speaking my heart about, I just titled this, His Grace is Sufficient. And today we're going to have table talk. Amen? We're going to gather around the table and talk. And I think it's important that we bring edification and glory and we be builders up of one another. There's enough tearing down that is in this world. We don't need to gather to tear anybody down. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm still a work in progress.
Amen.
You know, the Word of God says, ever learning but never coming too fully to the knowledge of truth.
Yeah.
Amen. I haven't arrived yet.
Me either.
Amen. And I wouldn't take anything for the journey.
Amen.
You know, before I get into the Word today, I was just reminded, and I was supposed to do this, and I didn't say it earlier, because I was sharing some of the testimonies that was going on. And I'm grateful for Tim and Melissa. We had an opportunity to go out Tuesday to share the gospel of Christ, and we went to Purcell Park first,
And we led a young couple to the Lord there while they were eating their ice cream sundaes. And they got something that was sweeter than ice cream. They got Jesus. Amen. And then we had an opportunity to minister to the a couple of young ladies from Duck Ministries. And they're a part, they were head of the college outreach ministry for Duck Ministries. And they found a way to simplify sharing the gospel, to train, to expand the Duck more. And then we decided we were going to go out to eat. And we went to Barbecue Ranch. And because the Lord told us to go to Barbecue Ranch. So we went to Barbecue Ranch and there was going to be somebody there. So we went there and we tried a couple people and there was nothing there. So then we had our Barbecue Ranch and our barbecue and stuff. And we were getting ready to leave and we were walking out. And there was a gentleman that was 74 years old, because he told us he was 74. And he was looking for ketchup. And Melissa heard him looking for ketchup. And she went and bought ketchup. And then he stood up to thank her for bringing him ketchup. And then Brother Tim opened his mouth and started sharing God's love with the gentleman. And the 74-year-old man ended up giving his heart to Jesus and tears in the restaurant. I mean, God really showed up because he didn't think he was worthy. Amen? He didn't think he was worthy, so God ministered to his heart and his life. And the reason I'm telling you this, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, God's grace is abounding towards you and I today. Amen? He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you right where you are. But he loves you so much, he's not going to leave you there.
Amen.
Amen. So when we're looking at this today, there's four things I want to share. I just had to share that. Amen. It's a catch-up story. All right. So every time I say catch-up now, I got to get to smile. Hallelujah. So there's four things I want to share with you out of this text today. I'm not going to let the post get between us. four things I want to share is the weakness, the warfare. Just like with the Declaration of Independence. We're on a battlefield. And if you don't think there's a battle, you're blind. So we're going to look at the weakness, the warfare, the windfall, and the wind. Hey, can we all just lift the word together? I just like making declarations and coming into agreement. Is that okay with y'all?
Yes, sir.
Say, I believe. This is the written word of God.
This is the written word of God.
God wrote it to me.
I am
what God's word says I am.
I
can have
everything
God's word says I can have.
I can be
who God says I can be.
Today,
I will hear God's word.
My life will be changed.
It will never be the same.
Lord, speak to me.
I'm listening.
My ears are open.
My heart is attentive.
Thank you, Jesus,
for choosing me.
Hallelujah.
Father,
we're so grateful, Father God, for your word.
And we're grateful that you're sitting here to accomplish something in each heart, in each life, everyone that's here.
So, Father, I pray, Father God, speak to me tonight, today, Father God. May the words that come out of my mouth be from you and not from me.
Minister to every heart and every life. And when all is said and all is done, you will receive all the glory. You will receive all the honor. And you will receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, one of the things that the Lord said to us, his grace was sufficient.
His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And one of the things is we all are human. Is there anyone in here that's not human? Thank God that we don't have any Martians in here today. But what the Lord is saying first is the weakness. So if you look with me in Matthew 26. We're going to look right first at even the disciples of Jesus. Remember with me this. Jesus was flesh and spirit. He was born in the flesh and of the spirit, so he had feelings just like you do. And the Father told him that he was going to have to go to the cross to pay the penalties for the sins of mankind. And in his flesh, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he asked the Lord to take it from him. But he asked his disciples if they would watch and pray. He took with him Peter and the sons of Zebedee, the Word of God says, which is James and John, with them. And he went to talk to the Father, and he came back, and Peter, James, and John was sleeping. And Jesus said, He came up to the disciples and found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to say something to you, body. I've asked you, if you would, to please come and pray for these 16 days. There's a warfare. There's battle going on in and through this transition. If you don't think there's a battle, you better wake up in the spirit, because there's a battle taking place. And, you know, I was thinking about that. Jesus said you couldn't watch with me and pray. Can you please come for an hour and pray? Somebody says, well, I can pray from home. Why, God didn't ask you to come from home, pray for home. He said to come here and pray for an hour. So if you get an opportunity, come and pray an hour.
Amen.
Yeah, let me say something to you. We got to get a hold of this, that it's, everybody's important. If you're a righteousness of Christ Jesus, you're important. And he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen? So in other words, if we're looking for this and we're going through this, we need the whole team. We need the whole body. Amen? We're in it together. Amen? Everybody's valuable and everybody's important. And he reminds us in the weakness, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Peter chapter 3, he reminds us, we're not in the flesh, we're in the spirit. The Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, we're now children of God. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? And he wants us to be strong. And he reminds us how when we operate in the flesh. There's the Spirit and the flesh. He says, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. He says, are you not carnal and walk as men? Amen? We got to get our flesh out of the way and let the Spirit of God have control. Amen? If I say it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, I got to let the Christ in me and you be manifested to others. Amen? So the Apostle Paul, with that in mind, in our weakness, says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, remember, I'm speaking about being independence of God. Many of us want to be independent, separate, but God calls us to be in dependence. Amen? Trusting in the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct our paths. Amen? So we're striving to stay in unity. And the Word of God says in verse 25, God reminds you and I, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen. Yea, and things which are not
to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. It's all about him.
Yes.
Amen? It's all about Jesus.
That's
right. It's his strength. The Bible says, Jesus said, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Now, how many admit with me that he has some weaknesses? Come on, let's be real.
Oh, my.
Amen? We have some weaknesses. Is there in our lives where we're challenged, where we're weakness? And what God wants to do is he wants to give us strength in those areas in our lives where we have weakness. Amen? Because guess what? We can't overcome it and do it without him.
That's right.
If you thought you could do it on your own strength, you fooled your, it's not, you're not, you can't do it.
That's right.
You can't do it. It's impossible. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? So what he was saying to us, he says, in our weakness, to recognize there is warfare. Amen? I was looking at the warfare. And I'm going to a familiar scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we'll start for a minute, we do not war against the flesh. In other words, remember, the Word of God declares we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to say this again to you because you've got to get a hold of this. Every time you put a face on it, you lose the battle. Every time you put a face on it, you lose the battle. In other words, you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Your battle is not with people.
Amen.
And every time we take the battle out with people, we become the loser.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I didn't say it. God did. Amen. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not in the natural, not in the flesh, but mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, if you're not being obedient to the Word, you can't expect the Word to work for you. Hello? He says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If that word isn't being applied, there's no action behind the word, it's just noise.
Yeah.
Amen. And there's a lot of noise in this world.
Yeah.
And what God is saying to us, that we got to fight the good fight of faith, we got to lay hold of eternal life where we're called and profess a good testimony before many witnesses. Amen. People ain't watching what I say. They're watching what I do. Because what I do speaks louder than what I say. Hallelujah. So he's telling you and I, with that in mind, he says to us, Psalms 127. Verse number 1. He reminds us as we're building, as we're growing. And let me say something to you. We have a small crowd here today, but we're really growing. And you've got to see where we're growing because it's in the spiritual realm. And a lot of people are away on vacation and on the 4th of July weekend. There's families that go to the family events and things. I just want you to know, we're growing, okay? We're not stagnant. We're moving ahead, amen? And we're moving forward, amen? And God's going to do great and mighty things. Why? How do I know? Because he said he was. And I believe that he's a God and he does not lie. Whatever he said he's going to do, he's going to do.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Amen. I'm excited every morning when I get up. I know what the adversary, the adversity I'm facing. I'm facing adversity because I know I'm going the right direction.
Amen.
And every time I war a good word for here, I know I'm doing it for the kingdom of God. I know that everything's working together for your good because you're called according to God's preference. And whether you see it right now or not, God's more cares about you. Amen. And he might not do things like you think you should do, or your flesh might not like this, or your flesh might not like that. Get over your flesh and get in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. This is a spiritual walk, not a fleshy walk.
Yes.
Amen. We got to bring our flesh into captivity.
Yes.
I don't know about you, God. I have a lot of flesh that has to come into subjection, right? Is there anybody besides me? Hallelujah. But he says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen waketh but in vain. I said, well, Lord, how do we do this?
Where are you?
I'm in Psalms 127, verse number 1.
Oh, who said 25?
Did I say 29?
Yeah.
I haven't recorded. I have to see. Well, you two are sitting together, no?
It came out wrong.
It could be 127. It doesn't matter. God has it. Amen.
I got 125.
Jesus gives us instructions how to do this in this warfare in John 15. And usually you don't use this scripture for warfare, but the Holy Spirit said this is one of the most powerful words for battling and warfare. And John 15, verse number 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Are you being tried? Are you being tested? There's a purging going on, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now we are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Amen. That's right.
Nothing.
That's right.
We're in dependence of him because guess what? We have weaknesses.
Yes, we do.
And when God wants to remind us, even in our weakness, we're still in a battle.
That's right.
So we have the warfare, but he's given us through Christ Jesus the windfall. You know, I was thinking about windfall. And I was praying that the Spirit of God, like the wind, would fall on this place.
Yeah.
Would fall on hearts and lives that would stir up some things that have been laying dormant and get people active for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
There's too much apathy. There's too much spiritual complacency. There's people that just hanging and not getting busy for the kingdom of God.
That's right.
You know, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Amen. And that's what God has called us to do, to be about the Father's business. And God is here to change and transform this world by the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But he was reminding me of the windfall in Luke chapter 10. Guess what? It's Jesus speaking again. Amen. And he says in verse 19, Luke 10, 19. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. How many children of God do we have in the room? Jesus said, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's come your direction, Rejoice and be glad because your eternal salvation you have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. God wants, and the enemy always wants us to look at what's in front of us to miss the promise that God has given us. He says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not a think so. It's not a maybe so. It's a know so mentality. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know one thing. If I die, I hope I don't die today, but if I die, I'm going to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So rather absent or present, don't be sorrowful for me. If I go, I pray that I get caught up with Him all the time. I mean, rather catch me up with You, Lord. Amen. I've tasted His glory come down. I don't get to imagine what heaven's like. Amen. Amen. Everybody even witnessed the glory of God and in the presence of the glory of God and what took place in that glory. Hallelujah. And you've witnessed that, man. You're looking forward to that day. You know, I'm not telling anybody to go kill yourself or to go and die or anything. Don't take it the wrong way. Amen. But what I'm saying is to you, you're a child of God.
Yeah.
Amen. And everything that we're going through and everything that we face is for a purpose and a reason. And when God's looking for us to give Him glory and no matter what. Amen.
Amen.
I thought that was okay. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Man, I got to preach another 45 minutes yet. It's at lunchtime.
Preach it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
We're going to. Amen. How many know that your spiritual food is more important than your physical food?
That's right.
Amen. How do you know if you get fed spiritually and you dine on what's being spoken, your physical food even tastes better? Is that? Are you ready? The Bible, we started with our scripture. It said, not to think of ourselves sufficient in ourselves, but our sufficiency comes from God. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8, he says this. He says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now He that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Amen. In other words, the windfall is, even though Satan is bound to us, and we have authority over him. We can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
He also says, but what's most important thing is our salvation. And what God is saying, hey, don't forget who you are. You're the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You know, and as we're looking at that, he's saying there's this wind of the Spirit is blowing, and we're in dependence of God. His grace is sufficient to help us in our weakness, to help us through our warfare, because He's given us the windfall, the Spirit of God. Amen? I don't know about you, but I am grateful for the Spirit of God. I heard someone the other day, I guess I have to bring this up because it came up, and I think I must bring it up. There's the parable of the old garment and the new garment. And the parable of the old wineskins, the old bottle and the new bottle. And they came to Jesus, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, why aren't your disciples fasting? It's a time of fast. Why aren't they fasting? And Jesus, in paraphrase, said to them, well, there's no need for them to fast while God is with them. But there will come a time when they need to fast. And he said to him, you can't put a piece of new garment into the old garment because it'll tear away. And he was speaking about those under the law because they wouldn't receive the grace of Jesus. They wouldn't receive the Gentile. And he said, you can't put new wine into the old bottles because it's full. Because without the new wine is the Holy Ghost. And you couldn't have the Holy Ghost unless you had Jesus. So unless the Jews accepted Jesus, they could not have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. It didn't have anything to do with old people and young people or whatever. I want you to understand we all have the Holy Ghost We all have the same spirit. There isn't a young spirit, a middle-aged spirit, an old spirit. We all have the spirit of God. Amen. And the same spirit that raised him from the dead is in you. Amen. Amen. So we can come together in unity no matter what. So no matter what things look like, no matter what things seem like, we have to trust God in his word. Let me say this. I'll say this one thing. No matter what happens with the old generation or the new generation, if it doesn't align with the word of God, it's not from him.
Amen. Right.
If it does not align with his word, it is not from him. And what the enemy does, what did Satan do? He quoted the word of God. But he took it out of context. And there's many that speak the word of God, but there's no truth in it. If it isn't aligned with the word of God. If it isn't aligned, for he says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. This is what we're holding for. This is what I'm living my life to.
Yes, right.
Amen. This is what I'm believing in. I believe in every word he says in here. Amen. I guess that came for a reason. I don't know who needed it, but somebody in the room needed it. Or the Holy Spirit wouldn't have told me to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Hello?
Yes.
Because the Bible says where there's confusion, there's every evil work.
Yep.
Amen. And God's not an author of confusion.
Amen.
You know, one thing about the Lord I serve, he does things decently and he does them in order. He has an order of things. Amen. Amen. But guess what? An order of things doesn't mean that we have to come in and pray and do praise and worship and whatever. We come in and trust God, whatever God wants to do, he can move it any way he wants to.
Amen. Amen.
Do you think sometimes we might hold him in a box because we got so used to doing this and so used to doing that? And we're asking God to bring his glory down, and God's asking us to change, do something different, but we're so stuck in what we used to do, we can't look at something new. And God is a God, he's new every morning. The mercies of God are new every morning. Amen. In other words, guess what? God's going to change up some ways that things are done. Hallelujah. Guess what? I'm tired of the way things are done. They're getting boring to me. I'm looking for something brand new.
Amen.
Anybody looking for something new?
Amen.
I'm looking for something exciting. Anybody looking for some excitement?
Yes.
I was like a kid in the candy store yesterday. I'm telling you what, in the midst of that, I got so filled with joy sharing with a young man that came. But his brother used to come to this ministry and he started sharing testimony. He was sharing testimony with his mom. I don't have to give his name because he don't have to share a testimony. He was sharing testimony with his mom. He said, my mom isn't really well off, but she takes care of herself. And we don't, in the family, we didn't understand this, but a couple of weeks ago, she had like $80,000 saved. And she came to us and said that she just donated to her church because God told her to donate it to her church. So she donated her $80,000 to the church.
Amen.
And guess what? In man's eyes, that will seem stupid. But in God's eyes. But in God's eyes. Amen. In God's eyes. Amen. What did she do? She trusted the Lord. She gave her very best. And I haven't heard the testimony of what's coming yet. But guess what? I found out one thing. We can't outgive God.
Amen.
We can't outgive him.
Amen.
Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up the foul ground of your heart, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon you. I believe it's beginning to rain. I believe it's beginning to rain. It's sprinkling outside, but the sprinkling of the Holy Spirit, the rain is coming, and there's getting ready to be an outpour of rain. I don't know about you, but I want to get soaked in this. Amen. I don't want to carry me my old religious umbrella and miss everything the Holy Spirit's doing. Saturate me, Lord. Soak me with your presence. Fill me to overflowing, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul would write to his student Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. Watch out, we might have church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Guess what? God can have church downstairs as much as he can have it upstairs.
Amen.
Hello?
Have it anywhere.
Amen. It isn't about the dwelling place. They were in tents. It didn't matter. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the air conditioner. I'm grateful that we have this basement to be in. I'm grateful that it's raining outside. So if we had an outdoor service, it wouldn't have been as delightful as it is in here in the dry. I thank God that He knew what was coming and He saw everything before it ever happened and He prepared a place for us. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul would write to his student Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who have enabled me for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry."
Amen.
Amen. So what the Lord is saying to us today in closing, what He's saying to us today is, hey, His grace is sufficient for us. His grace is made perfect in our weakness. That He recognizes that all of us have our weaknesses. And God wants us to know that He doesn't miss any of the warfare and the battle that anyone's facing. The battle that everyone's facing is just as important. God wants everyone to know that just because they're going through a storm or a trial, that they haven't lost their value, they haven't lost their worth, that He esteems them and He honors them and He loves them. And God loves you and has a plan and purpose in your life, and he continues to. So many times we put conditions on things. You know, if they look this way, if they look that way, God's doing something. But when I read through the Word of God, I saw people go through things that I couldn't even imagine. But I believe that God says in His Word that I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any creature is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves each and every one of you. He loves you so much no matter what man has said. Hello? Guess what? Man can be mean.
Yes.
So He says to us, He wants you to know what He was speaking my heart about. As a child of God, you're a winner. He reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," verse 17, "he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God's called us to reconcile the world to Him.
Amen.
God's called us to reconcile one another to Him. Amen. It's all about Jesus. So in closing again today, His grace is sufficient. In our weakness, He recognizes the battle that you're facing, the warfare. He's given us our helper, the Spirit, for the windfall, and that you're declared a winner. You know, I put something on Facebook the other day, and the Lord spoke to my heart about it. Because I hear so much. God said, "Speak to the mountain, not about the mountain, and the mountain will be removed." So many times we speak more about the mountain than to the mountain. In other words, God said, "Every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus." So when we look at that, we have authority and power over every weapon the enemy has won.
Amen.
Bow your heads and let us pray. I'm not done yet. Father, we're so grateful for your word.
I'm not done yet.
Hello.
So grateful for your word. I'm grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something in every heart and every life of everyone that's in the room. Father, I thank you for the plans that you have for each and every one. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give them a hope and expect it in. So, Father God, just in the closing moments of this portion of the service that we are in, if you're here and you really need something from the Lord, Maybe it's physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. What I'd like for you to do is just lift your hands to the air. And as the body, we're going to pray in agreement for everyone that has their hands lifted. You don't have to look at them. It doesn't matter. So, Father, we thank you, Father God, that you're touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and with your stripes we have been made whole. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I pray for everyone that is sick in body. Your word declares that you were wounded for our transgressions, you were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes we are healed.
Yes.
Every disease took a stripe.
Praise your name, Jesus.
And you took a stripe for the healing. So, Father, I thank you for touching their bodies in Jesus' name. Father, those that have financial needs, Father God, your word declares that you're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. The God that provides for each and every one of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You see those that are have a need financially, Father, I pray that you open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Father, there's emotional scars in the room. There's battlefields in the mind. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, your word declares to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring under captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So those spirit of minds that are troubled right now, Lord, I speak the peace of God that surmounts every bit of our understanding to guard their hearts and their minds to Christ Jesus. It also says for those that need Jesus, you're not in that place you need to be. Just pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge you died on the cross. You arose from the grave. You paid the penalty for my sin. You purchased me a place in heaven. Father, forgive me all my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul and making me whole. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer and you meant that prayer, the Bible says that the root of sin as far as the east is from the west. Never be remembered again. And you got a do-over. He was also speaking today about the weakness, the warfare, the windfall. The Lord told me I had to get long winded today. Because we're back early, so we get to lunchtime. At the winter. But there's the witness. In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5, here's what the Lord wants to say to us. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Lord reminds us and reminds you that you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. That you should show forth the praise of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who at one time were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who at one time had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God's mercy and his grace is abounding to you and I today in this place. So what we want to do, God says he's changing up things. He's doing things a little different. I'm not finished with this yet. Okay, don't you run away from my body. We're doing things a little different. So if you will look behind your table or somebody can hand out you little buckets, there's communion in every bucket around the table. There's communion. We're going to